The word of God is given to us to feed on. We at Deliverance Assemblies of God Church, located at Kotobabi behind Ebony Hotel in Accra, use this channel to come your way with the unadulterated word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Our new topic we started from last week was the power of thought. The power of thought. The power of thought. That means that when we think, when we process some things, there is some power that goes behind it. Many of us are not able to harness that power. And maybe we think there are some who say it is new age. It is this and this and this and tour. But we will need to learn it. Then when we finish and you want to pick it as new age, it is your own issue. Hallelujah. And I was telling you that when you look at the Eastern religions, religions coming from the East. When we talk of the Eastern religions, we have yoga, we have Hindu, we have Buddhism, Shinto, and all those things. You will see that they center on the mind. They center on the mind. Why? Because the mind is the engine that drives. And unfortunately, when it comes to us Christians, we don't. So this time we took this lesson that we'll look at it well. Many do not understand why we have New Testament scriptures. Yes, we are in the New Testament. We believe in the New Testament. We believe that the church must move in power and the rest. But I'm using these Old Testament scriptures for you to see, understand the illustration that happened. The Old Testament goes beyond the story. If the Lord opens your eyes for you to understand, you will see that it was reality. So as we encounter that reality, then we ask ourselves, what happened? Amen. So our text is 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, you have 5 or 6 principal things that you will need to consider. Number one, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, make kind of scripture now, no. David was hidden in the cave of Adullam. And the cave of Adullam becomes paramount in these studies. Why? It tells you that David himself, no ni bebida. David himself was a runaway man. So the cave of Adullam cannot be, you cannot overlook it as we look at this test. It tells you that David did not have a dwelling place. Then in verse 2, then some men went to him. But scripture now gives a description of the men that went to him. They were men who were what? Who were in debt. Men who were discontented. And men who were distressed. 3 big problems. Men who were in debt. Men who were discontented. Men who were what? Who were distressed. All were what? Baggages. So men who were carrying loads of baggages. This one is almost no. David Nankasa. So we have those 3 things: debt, discontented, distress. Those 3 words. But it does not end there. Another significant thing that you have to look at that verse is that they were 400 men. They were not 10. They were not 1. They were 400 men. So 400 men with loads. 400 men with load. And then the last thing you see in that scripture is that, and David became their captain. And David became their captain. Hey, he accepted to collect 400 people's wahala and become their captain. Would David fail or would David sink? Would David make it or David will not make it? On makura disturbo kakra na wabodam. Nani abodam for 400 abesu also. Eya wahala. Amen. But there is good news when we come to 2 Samuel chapter 23 from verse 8. Last week I said go and read from 8 downwards. I don't know how many people read it. I won't ask because today I'm running. Today I want to run and get to somewhere. Because last week I was told that I kept you in suspense. Today I won't keep you in suspense. the account must be balanced. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8, just the first line, when we all read it together, it says, "Now, these are the mighty men of David." Others will say, "These are what?" If you have another version, "These are the bravest soldiers. These are the bravest soldiers. These are the names of the mighty men." And I told you that when you go home and you have time and you go down, it will give you 30 soldiers. So out of 400, 30 became mighty soldiers. And it will give you an account of all the 30. It will not just mention their name. It mentions their name 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. They were grouped in 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. It will tell you what they did for you to see that the guys were guys. In today's time, they would have been in, if they were in America, they would be the Navy SEALs. If you want to look at this thing, 9/11, you look at this man, Osama bin Laden, and then you check how they killed Osama bin Laden, then you see the Navy SEALs. Nipa Kakrebi, they will finish all the work. So this became the mighty men of David. And they were the same people who stood by David until David died. They were the warriors. Now, if 30 became mighty, what about the rest? They were still soldiers. So 30 became mighty. 370 were soldiers. Although they were not mighty. But at the end of it all, they all became more strong men. That is it. Question. The reason why I brought this test is for you to begin to think through and ask yourself, how come people with baggages, people with all those load, could change and become strong men, become people who can win battle? How come? How come? It means that there was a whole shift. There was something big that was called what? Transformation. That happened in their life. That is why I'm using that test. So that Okaya and Webisan who said Barnesin. Anytime we revisit this topic, we are looking at Senye Bae. Are you okay now? How the drama unfolded. So which tells you that with all your wahala and all your baggage, you are still capable of becoming what? A mighty man. I didn't hear an amen. That means you don't even believe you can become a mighty man. But I'm here to tell you that out of all of us sitting here, mighty men are coming out. And I believe you should be the next mighty man coming out. I believe you should be the next mighty man coming out. Why? Because a transformation is about to take place. So when you read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So Bible is telling us that there are two things that make up the world. Number one, there is the worldly style. So in the worldly style, in verse 1, verse 2, what do? You can kill yourself. You can fight. You can do this. You can die. And the rest. Do not be conformed to this world. But there is the other one. He says, but be ye what? Transformed. But when he was talking about the transformation, he gave a particular thing that must be transformed. He said, your mind. Your mind. So last week we looked at where the mind is seated. Is the mind this? Or this is just the brain? Then realize that the mind is not here. The mind is seated within the soul. Hallelujah. So today we continue. Today we continue. When you pick a computer, when it is made, everything is set with its program. Hallelujah. Everything is set with its program. Alex, why you're here? You're in Wonderland. Don't be in Wonderland. Be here. A computer, everything is set. And when you pick the computer, it should function as it must be. If it does not function like that, we say, manufacturer, there is what? A defect. Hallelujah. As we sit here, we are all computers that had been manufactured and everything in it was given correct. But when the machine, something else attacks the machine, we have a provision within the machine that is called the delete button. But because the machine is not a human being, it cannot delete. It needs someone else to delete whatever is affecting the machine. But thank God you are not a machine. You are a human being. So, with you, nobody deletes for you. You are the first person and you are the last person who must delete your own thing. Hallelujah. So this evening we look at one principle that David applied, and we look at the delete button. I make it so simple so that we all get it. We look at the delete button. David accepted all these 400 men. Why? Because David has been applying this. David has been applying this all through his life till he got there. So he knew how to work on them. And how was David applying it? So we go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. If I'm speeding, slow me down. If I'm slowing, speed me up. Because my Bible has come, so I'm set. So 1 Samuel chapter 16. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, we are coming to read a story. Are we there? David anointed king. I won't mention the verse. I'm just saying David anointed king. So can you find the verse and read? 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse what? David anointed king. David anointed king. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 6. So we are reading it. We are not reading when Samuel was told to go and anoint David king. We are reading Samuel in David's household. You were in verse 6. And then I said, I don't like the verse 6. In verse 6, Samuel has been told to go and what? Anoint David king. And then anoint someone king. And he told God that he's afraid. And God gave him a new strategy. And the strategy was that go and have a feast. I don't like that. I want in Samuel in the house of Jesse. That would be verse what? Okay. The Bible said in every time be any question and answer. In verse 13, you being kind free, homer. Verse 13. Aroma chim the Bible ne sa well who intina me if you say ubi become aroma. So verse 13. Aroma yehu ama until they kind. Verse 13. So listen to that story. We will find this button in that story. So I'll give you two stories. You'll find this button. Yes.
So Jesse is meant to bring his younger son for Samuel to see. Uh-huh. This young man was handsome and strong, and he had beautiful eyes. The Lord said to Samuel, I have chosen this man. Now anoint him as king. Samuel took the horn that was full of olive oil. He poured the oil over David's head to anoint him. Samuel did this in front of David's brothers. From that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came on David with great power.
Amen.
Amen.
But go back. Go back to verse 8 and read to verse 12. Start from verse 8.
Verse 8.
I said Samuel in Jesse's house.
Then Jesse called his son, Abinadab. Jesse caused him to stand in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this man either." Jesse caused his son Shammah to stand in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord had not chosen this man." Jesse caused seven of his sons to stand in front of Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these men." Samuel asked Jesse, "Are those all of your sons?" Jesse answered, "I have one more son. He is the youngest. He is taking care of my sheep." Samuel said, "Send someone to bring him here. We cannot continue to offer the sacrifice until he arrives." So Jesse told his men to bring his youngest son for Samuel to see. This young man was handsome and strong.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Now, we are coming to do an exercise here. There is a problem in the house. In that house, there is a problem. Can somebody help us identify the problem? I want two problems in the house. Then we will apply this button. If you can't identify, we can't apply the button. Two problems in that house. Enemy bantam into me, relaxed. Two problems in that house. Number one, state the first problem from what we have read. State the first problem in that house. The prophet has entered into your house. God has sent him. He has told you the mission, why he came to the house. What is the problem in the house? Yes?
So there was a delete.
There was what?
One of the sons was deleted.
So we can see. The first problem, they had deleted one son. Because if you have a visitor, not just a mere visitor, a visitor as the prophet of Israel who enters your home, what will you do? You will assemble every person together, even with the slaves. Because of conscience, Nina and then Waboy Raha. But one guy was deleted. So that was the first problem. So he was not part of it. What is the second problem? What is the second problem? Okay, because you are staring at my face, let me continue. Yes.
I think they don't regard David at all because he's the last one.
So that is part of the deletion. But the second problem is that he was the youngest. And when the prophet asked that, "Are these all your sons?" Then the father said, "But there is still one in the bush." He could not even mention David's name. He could not even mention David's name. At least, so refuel baby idea, not the last born. David was the last born, but his name was not mentioned. The first time he was not called. Now the prophet said, "Obiencha." So who is left? Oh, it's left with my darling last born. Your friend is David. At least one friend the crown pan carboni dien. Ha cry de did you cry and yet ama. So we see two problems in the house. David not regarded, David not called, David's name even not what? Mentioned. If you were David, if you are called David, and they treated you like that. Now, let's read the verse 13. Yeah, Bible said you. If I move there, I don't want you to get confused. So let's read the verse 13.
Verse 13. Samuel took the horn that was full of olive oil. He poured the oil over.
Start from verse 12 when he came.
verse 12. So Jesse told his men to bring his younger son for Samuel to see. This young man was handsome and strong, mm-hmm. and he had beautiful eyes. The Lord said to Samuel, I have chosen this man. Now anoint him as king. So Samuel took the horn that was full of olive oil. He poured the oil over David's head to anoint him. Samuel did this in front of David's brothers. From that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came on David.
Thank you.
With great power.
Thank you. If you were David, Yamfro, Yambodi, they bring you right from the bush and they said they are coming to anoint you. Will you accept it? If you were David, will you accept it? If you were David, will you accept it? Yes.
Yes, I wasn't there when they were doing the selection.
Uh-huh.
But someone sent for me.
Uh-huh.
So I would definitely accept it. I don't know what is going on. So I accept it.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
I wasn't.
Maybe we are not getting the story well. Let's. Will you accept it? They brought you from the bush. Your home. They brought you from the bush. And then they just brought you, say, kneel down. Let's anoint him. King. What are the questions, the possible questions you ask?
Yes, I will ask questions.
Uh-huh. So are you saying that you will not just accept it? It is likely you ask that, are you sure it is me? Please, if you are not seeing well, don't bring problem. Because already in my house, I have problems. In my house, I already have problems. And so don't come and compound to my heart, my existing problems. So it's not likely you will accept it. Medium ye David, I mean, make us a mempeme huasem. Mempeme huasem. You understand? But right in David's life, I want you to see this button here. Right in David's life, when you apply the delete button, it means that what is past is past. So David came, he came into something new. Ah, yes, me and the may imagine. Yes.
For me, when Saul sent for.
You do Saul.
When Samuel sent for David, Samuel said that they should keep standing till he comes. So they were all standing before he was brought in. And when he was brought in, I'm not sure there is the space or time for you to inquire of what is happening, what is going on. So right then, if everybody in the house is not the one, definitely you are the one. So there's no time for you to ask questions, for you to get answers. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Let's move to the next scripture. I want you to see this before we come to the verse 22. The next scripture, verse 17.
Saul agreed.
Verse 17, chapter 17.
First Samuel chapter 17.
From verse 12. First Samuel chapter 17 from verse 12.
First Samuel chapter 17 from verse 12. At this time, David's father Jesse was a very old man. Jesse belonged to the clan of Ephraimite. He came from Bethlehem, town in Judah. He had eight sons. Jesse's three older sons had joined Saul's army to fight the war. They were Eliab, Jesse's oldest son, his second son, Abinadab, and his third son, Shammah. David was Jesse's youngest son, whilst Jesse's three older sons were in Saul's army. David would sometimes leave Saul and go back home to Bethlehem. He did that to take care of his father's sheep. Verse 16, for 40 days, Goliath would stand up and insult the Israelite army every morning and every evening. One day, Jesse said to his son, David, take some food to your brothers in the army. Here is a large bag of grain that we have cooked and 10 loaves of bread. Take them quickly to the army camp. Also take these 10 pieces of cheese to the officer who leads their group of soldiers. Find out whether your brothers are well. Bring something back to me to show.
Please listen carefully to this portion.
Bring something back to me to show how they are. They are in Elah Valley with Saul and the Israelite army, where they are fighting against the Philistines. Verse 20. So David got up early that next morning. He left his father's sheep with another shepherd to take care of them. He did what his father had told him to do. He took the food to give to his brothers. When David arrived at the camp of the Israelite army, the soldiers were going out to fight. They were shouting their war songs. Whilst they went, the Israelite army and the Philistines army stood in their places ready for the fight. They looked towards each other across the valley. David gave his gifts to the officer who took care of the army's food. Then he ran to the place where the Israelite soldiers were standing. He said hello to his brothers to see if they were well. Whilst David was talking to his brothers, Goliath marched out from the Philistines' army. He was the great Philistine soldier from Gath. As he came, Goliath was insulting the Israelites as he did every day. David heard what he said. When all the Israelite soldiers saw Goliath, they were very afraid. They ran away from him. The Israelites said to each other, look at this man. He is so strong. He comes every day to insult us. King Saul will give great riches to any man who can kill Goliath. The king will give his daughter to that man for him to marry her. His family will never again have to pay taxes to the king. David asked the men who were standing near him, if someone kills this Philistine soldier and takes away the shame from Israel, what gift will he get? He is an unclean Philistine. He must stop insulting the army of our God, who lives forever. Verse 27. The men then told David what the king had promised to do. They said, this is what the king will do to help to the man who this is what the king will do to help the man who kills the Philistine soldier. When David was speaking with the soldiers, his eldest brother, Eliab, heard him.
Now listen carefully to this portion.
He became angry with David. He asked David, why have you come here? You should be taking care of a few sheep in the wilderness. Who is taking care of them now? I know how proud you are. I know about your wicked ideas. You came here only to watch the battle. David said, I have done nothing wrong.
Thank you. Let's stop there. I intentionally made us to read the story so that we see who the leader himself, what he has been going through. Now, in this story, we realize that after he has been anointed, he was not anointed behind his brothers. So he was anointed in front of his brothers. But anointing, and many brothers, and they still kept on to how they see him. Now, when you read and you see, his father told him that he should take food and go and check on his brothers and come and give him word. But the father did not say that they don't go to, don't send the animals to the destin, the bush. So if you want to draw a map of it, David will wake up in the morning. He went to the bush, left the animals with a keeper, came back, picked the food, and ran to the battlefield. And from the battlefield, he will come and give report to his father and go back here. I'm just drawing it for you to see the things he was going through. But when he got there, everything he had gone through, so Bible says he woke up very early in the morning. So if he has been waking up normal, this time he had to wake up before because his job has been what? Doubled. He woke up very early in the morning, went here, left the animals with the innkeeper, came here and came to check on his brothers. Is everything well? In checking on his brothers, what did his brothers tell him? If you read other version, he says, you are proud. And this version says, you are proud. Other version says, you are a gossip. You, Sabelo, you only came here to listen and go and say it. The guy has been anointed king in their presence. But you understand? But David here deletes this pressure he has gone through, deletes what his brother is saying, and still say, what will be done for the man who killed this man? Using the delete button is about being able to throw away every negative label. Throw away negative labels. Your ability to take off every negative label. Nobody will take it off for you. If you look at David in the readings we are reading, we are David, three of us. You will be timid. You won't come out because and the brother did not insult him privately. He was insulting him in front of everybody. That's for you. We know you. They didn't want everything. But David was able to apply this by throwing away everything he had gone through. Because if you wake up early in the morning, run this errand to the bush and come here. By the time you come here, you yourself, you are annoyed with yourself. Because a human why an head a dorsal is so much for you. But for David to be able to throw all those things away and still ask, why is this guy insulting us like that? Then his brother steps in and also gives it to him. So you realize that in his life, he has not been appreciated. He has not been given space to even what? Grow. Everything he does, somebody will have to what? Weed him off. And it is not people who are even outside. It is people who are around him. And that is the most painful of it. The people around him are the people who were what? Bringing every capability of him down. But David could throw all this out. And therefore, when the men came to him, this 400 useless men, because they were in problems. So 400 useless men came to him. David did not see them as useless. He could see them as useful and had to now apply this button to them. Remember, he was going to use them for war. And if I'm going to use you for war, na antimesi yanko konto kwa na yedu okono anafe na akai se ye mikunu ye ye mia. By the time I Belka Jack near Kun. Are you clear? So I want you to get a very good picture, because the people had to fight with David. And scripture tells you David never lost a battle. So what did he wipe from them that they could stand and fight? That was why I left you that work, that when you go, read from verse 8 down. Chapter 23, 2 Samuel 23, verse 8 down. Then you will appreciate the work David what did. One guy fought and the sword got stuck to his hand. Until he killed everybody. I want you to read yourself. And they were going to fight. If they were going to the office, it's no problem. What this work akrana was on, once our call officer, you detective message, no way a mistake. Oh boy, you say 5, no abone 7. You're born a 3, now what born 8? They be able to delete it. No, delete it. Yes, me kuno. Ah, go for when they have you. Yeah, me pa. Until they be able to born, no, delete it. Born, no, delete it. But with David, the men were not going to type. They were going to fight. How come they could fight and none of them lost his life? So Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that the moment the mind is renewed, many things begin to happen. So David had been applying this thing on himself. And so when the men came, they were not load for him. They were not load. They were not baggage. Because when you read the men's CV that they brought, the CV is nothing to write home about. They are in debt. They are discontented. They are dissatisfied. If you read one account of David, where David went to fight the Amalekites and they came back and the men's, their wives and children have been taken away. Do you remember that scripture? And the men decided they would what? They would stone David to death. So if they said they would stone him to death, are you seeing? Because already they... So how could David walk with all these 400 people and make them to become proper beings? And they were the ones who became the army commanders when David became the king. These same people. David did not change God. And the same people became. How? That tells you that even in your circumstance, if you can apply this button, you can move up. Hallelujah. I didn't hear somebody say amen. Amen. So, and I was telling you that I used the analogy of the computer. For the computer, somebody will have to do the delete. But for you, nobody will do the delete for you. When you are free with 3 months, but if you want to become mighty like how this man became mighty, then you have to take it off. You have to take it off. Last 2 days, I was thinking about this scripture and I got a second thing. David was a worshiper. Have you realized that anytime you sing worship and you get to a time, you forget yourself? Do you see that? You get lost. So that was why in the bush, David will still worship God. Because when he worships God, all those pressure and wahala goes off. So another way of erasing, of deleting is what? Is to become a worshiper. So I believe that all these guys started singing in David's choir. He taught them how to what? Worship God. And as they worship, their strength coming. As they worship, they will forget their luggage. They will forget their baggage. They will forget what people have said about them. And they can now what? Move on and fight. Today, what are we doing with ourselves? I'm bringing a caveat. Remember, at this time, there was no Holy Ghost. But today, you have the Holy Spirit. And you are still holding on to baggages. You are still holding on to luggages. Can you become a mighty man? Because if you look at David's time and you look at our time, then we are capable of becoming mighty men faster than who? Than David. But unfortunately, in our time, the mighty men are becoming few. But I pray that from today, the mighty men will start rising up. The mighty men will start rising up. The mighty men will start rising up. So he said, do not be conformed to this world. So in this world, then one say, yeah, yeah, yanko bu kakra, be conformed. Oh, yanko yese kakra, yanko yese kakra, yanko yese kakra. David knew mutine wouldn't win chap you. They did not drink there. He stayed with them there and they became big. They became strong. That is why today when we were beginning, I said, let us pray in tongues for some time. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. So, let me do a second example. A second illustration. A second illustration. That in our time, we have the Holy Spirit. So we becoming mighty men should be what? Should be faster. And that second illustration. Uncle Alex, bruh. So in our time today, we have the Holy Spirit. David's time, they didn't have. But they could still transform. Before I come to this time, there are two principles. I'm going into small mass. Don't be annoyed. Those who did not like mass, you love this one, just 5 minutes. Well, it will be on per mass, so that you love this one, just 5 minutes. So just laugh and then let's start. Yes, you love it. Let's not say kakra ansana. In mass, there is a topic. And that topic is called transformation. You love it. And within that same topic, there is another subtopic called enlargement. And in enlargement, we use something we call skill factor. But I'm coming to do a simple illustration. You get it. So enlargement. Let's say this box is here, and then they will say this box, I won't say with X axis, Y axis, and nobody else one mama. Into this box, as you see it, has been enlarged by scale factor 2. That means it has been multiplied by 2. So the box will become what? Bigger. Is that not so? So by the time we finish, this box has become like this. So, times 2. It was enlarged by 2. So, it became what? Bigger. And then, there is another thing we call transformation. And that transformation, we usually use through the x-axis, through the y-axis. The x-axis is the one straight. The y-axis is... So, when we say it was transformed, its position changed, but it did not become bigger. Are you okay now? When we say it was transformed, it means that the position what? Changed, but it did not become what? Big. Okay? But when we say it was enlarged, the thing increased, and it became what? Bigger. Now, we have two classes of people. We have those who go through enlargement and those who go through the transformation. But however, there will still be some change. Okay? There will still be some change. So, Alex said something against me. I could not delete, so I put Alex in me. Then I put my mother in me. Anyway, in me. Minkai, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Medu anonima essay, in my case here. So when I'm walking, I'll be what? I'll be enlarged. I'll be enlarged. It is a way of transformation, but I couldn't change. I couldn't change. So some of us, the year papa can fire home 10 years ago, 15 years ago, is within him. Into Busana, he can even mention date, time, and where, the place. You said it. It's within, it's within, it's within. If the 400 mighty men, if they were using this enlargement, all of them would have died at the battlefield. Won't get any mighty man. Are you okay with it? Are you okay with it? And with this, do you know that it is this enlargement. That is why some of us have high blood pressure. Oh, maybe bobo. High blood pressure. Mumbo dini bi, mumbo di edeno. Then diabetes. Some are not generational. Some are not generational. Cholesterol. Some are not generational. It is our inability to transform, and we decide to get what? Enlarge. And that is why we are holding all this sickness. Because obia yoye wono, a womb. But when we looked at it from David's story, we could see that David did not keep any record. He had been able to delete every record. When he got to the house and they were anointing him as king, he deleted the old records and he accepted the kingship. When he got to the battle, before the battlefield, and the brother was insulting him, he could delete all and still accept. Because after the brother insulted him, it was then that he was invited to Saul's house. Kobeka said, ah, now saw me brother Krembu me. Intimidating. You understand? So, some of us, we are not able to enter into the new because we are enlarged. You know what you do? We are enlarged. We are enlarged. You may be as small as me, but you are enlarged. Umwa you do. Because you are holding everybody within you. And it's also a form of transformation. It is also a form of transformation. But the one that Paul is talking about is, do not be conformed to this world. So that enlargement is by this world. In this world, ubi ya wadi atrapio kakra. Nako eden. Nako yeyeno. Na onhu se, wano eden, wano eya. Are you clear? But Paul said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you will still change, but not in that way the world expects you to go. I believe that these 400 men, when their family people see them, that they are mighty men, they will get shocked. Ah, with this problem or with this wahala or these men were able to be mighty. Amen. Amen. So if you need transformation, look for transformation. Don't look for enlargement because it is still what? Transformation. Then, for us in the New Testament, we have another advantage. And the advantage we have is the Holy Spirit. The scripture we have, there's no Holy Spirit there. David did the hard work. But in our time, we have the Holy Spirit. So, this is you, the body. This is the soul. Seated in the soul, we have what? The mind in the soul. As we pray in tongues, this one begins to grow bigger. And it takes over what? This body. so that this body cannot be stronger than this man. But if you are praying in tongues and this man is becoming weaker and this one is becoming small, check your tongues. I believe you understand. Because in this time, we are transformation. A major chunk of it is the Holy Spirit doing it for us, helping us to transform. And you have been anointed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you are speaking in tongues. But in speaking in tongues, instead of this man growing, the man is shrinking or form. Because instead of transforming, you are what? You are enlarging. So I am fighting and I'm becoming bigger. Then this man will become what? Smaller. We can't grow together. One must grow, one must become small. We can never grow together. It is either this one outgrows this, or this man outgrows this man. But if you are speaking in tongues, you have the Holy Ghost baptism, then this man is supposed to grow beyond this man. And therefore, your transformation is easier than the one that we are reading about. Any question? Then we pray. If you don't have a question, I'll give you an assignment. Although we won't continue next week, because next week we'll start with outreach mission. The assignment is that from today, sit down and look at everything you have to delete in your life in order for you to move faster. Sit down and look at everything you have to delete. Everything. If some you have to list and then cancel. No, I will be who were near to me and say, I've canceled it. List it and cancel it. Because by the time you finish, somebody's sickness will go. You didn't say amen. Yeah, because you don't want your sickness. No, because your sickness is not a home. Your sickness is not spiritual. Your sickness is because you have kept some baggage and you are becoming big. You are happy holding on to it. But if you are able to wipe it off, then strength will come.
The main problem is how to delete the garbage. That's the major problem. Mm-hmm. So I want to find out, how do we delete the garbage? At times you delete it, but the thing is, say, in your subconscious mind, you get it. So how to delete all is the issue. Because if you're able to delete all the garbage, you'll be free and move on.
Thank you. Like David. We in the New Testament has an advantage over the Old Testament. Why? We have the blood. We have the blood. We have the blood. I said, sit down and really try to understand the test we are using. And I told you that the men were not typing. They were going for war. So if you can't delete and you are going for war, what will happen to you? You will die. You will die. You will sentence yourself to what? To death.
Seeing one part of it that the deletes can also happen by association.
By association.
Yes. Because if you don't associate yourself with people who have a positive mindset, you also affect the individual. So let's say the 400 people, if they had associated themselves with someone else, imagine what would have come out of them. But because of the one they have associated themselves to, when you're at the battlefield, you look at your brother. You know this one is going through what I'm going through, but he's fighting. You look at this person. He's also going through what I'm going through, but he's fighting. So it makes you not to give up. You don't have an option to think about your situation than to fight. Mm-hmm. So by association, I think the delete also will work for you.
Thank you very much. So we can add to it by association. By association. You will realize that there are some people, when you sit in their company, By the time you leave, it is like you went for a boxing bout. No one bread. Because everything they talk about will bring you down. Your strength will come down. By the time you come, you are weak. But you have not done any battle. Because in a mommy, in a papa, in a mefeli with school, because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that, because of this. It is time we say, because of the blood of Jesus, I am a victor. It is time we begin to say that. It is time we begin to say that. It is time we begin to say that. Understand. Let us understand our position in the New Testament. Our position gives us an advantage over the old. So if the old is doing better than this, then that means that Christ owo no oya yekwa o. But owo no e che say dem fast oya den eba.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for this teaching that is coming to us. One thing I also realize is that David knew God. Because when the family was, when he was rejected by the family, it is only God that he was depending upon. He was able to delete all those things that they did against him because the Lord was with him. He was able to become a worshiper because he knew God. And through that, God also gave him victory over all his enemy. He was able to transform the 400 men because he led them through the power of God. It is by the grace of God, it is by the doing of the Lord that he was able to transform the 400 men. Because it is not by his own strength or by his own power that he was able to do that. It is by the help of God. Amen.
Okay, so our assignment till we meet again. Two things you have to delete. Delete what people are saying or have said. For David, it was about the home. The home was so toxic, but he was able to thrive. And the second thing is, what you are saying about yourself. You see, they can beat you down with words to the point that you yourself, you can tell yourself, "Me am ibija omo, me mambe she, ibija omo, na me kra me kwami ahi." What you are saying of yourself. Two things. Two things. When you read further, you will understand why one day David said he wanted water. But he would not drink water that was in the brook around him. He wanted one from the other side. And for the other side, they have to cross over what? Saul's territory and go. You will understand why his men raised up their hands and said, "We'll get the water for you." Because they appreciated the things that David has what passed them through. So a recap of today, we looked at 1 Samuel 22, verse 1 to 2, 5. You don't want me to recap? You have a question? Oh, okay, bring your question before I do a recap. Because when I do a recap, we are praying and we are closing.
When maybe your family, you have been rejected. Uh-huh. And you know that if you come to the house of God, you will be accepted. In the house of God too, you have been rejected. Mm-hmm. So in this case, what you want to know God, but in your everything is said, "I have been rejected." Mm-hmm. You don't know what to do.
Okay.
In this case,
so you must know what to do. You don't know what to do, but there is something you have to do. God does not reject. what you have to do is that God does not reject. When you read Luke chapter 15 carefully, the prodigal son, he said, I'll go back to my heart, father. He didn't say, I'll go back to my home. He said, I'll go back to my father. Because God does not what? Reject. Are you clear? Assuming, because when you look at the prodigal son, you see that when the brother came back, the brother was what? Annoying. So assuming he said, I'll go back to my brother. So God does not reject. So the home may reject you. The church may reject you, but God does not reject. So in David's case, we saw that when the home rejected him, he was still worshiping God in the bush. And that was where he found God. He didn't find God in the house. He found God in the bush. And that was where he was worshiping God. Hallelujah. We are using this to let us know that if we want to become mighty, we don't have any excuse of not becoming mighty. You have to make a little effort and you'll be there. Are you okay now? You have to make a little effort and you'll be there. But the fact of the matter is that every day we want to blame somebody. We want to push it to somebody. So if David has said somebody, like many when he David, even the anointing we won't accept it. If David has said somebody, he won't fight Goliath. Then how much more those 400 men who were coming? He would have told them, Master, my wahala is bigger than you. Saul is chasing me. I've not been able to handle myself. I can't handle you. Go away. But he knew whom he has trusted in. Who have you trusted in?
You were born a champion. Nobody can reject you. Let them reject you, but make yourself a champion. Okay? See yourself as a champion. Even before you were born, there were about millions of sperm that were fighting to fertilize one egg. But you are the only person who was able to fertilize it. And you were born. So see yourself as a champion. Before you go to the earth, you are a champion. Are you getting it? And you are in Christ. You have the Holy Spirit with you. You have the Word of God with you. You have Jesus Christ who is interceding for you every day and night. So see yourself as a champion. Don't care about the one who is rejecting you. Are you getting it? Be focused in life. Move on. You get it. Move on. Don't mind people who are rejecting you. Move ahead. Forge ahead. Forget about distractions, okay? Move on, because you're a champion. You were born a champion. And before Allah, you'll be like David. Okay, the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Look at the things that he was facing. I get him from his father, his brothers, but he encouraged himself. He didn't bother them, because you were born a champion. I get in it. Thank you.
So, I'm wrapping up. I said next week, we are having Bible studies. But it is a preparation for what? Our mission work. So don't say you are not coming. It will be enjoyable. Come. Okay? But right, the next time we'll meet, we'll be doing who is renting my rooms. So write that topic somewhere. The next time we decide to continue this, who is renting my rooms? Then you know who a landlord is. You know who the tenants are. Who is renting my rooms? So today, we looked at David. We looked at where he was, cave of Adullam. He was unsettled. He himself has nowhere to hide. He himself has nowhere to lay his head, but he was still capable of what? Accepting 400 men with all their baggages. Dead, discontented, dissatisfied. Why? Because David had been applying a tool that has been helping him. He has been deleting every negative thing that was what? That had been said about him, that was being said about him, and therefore he knew how to forge ahead. And he did so for this man. And in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8, the first phrase says, now these are the mighty men of who? David. I want to bow down our heads and want to say, Holy Ghost, help me to delete every negative thing. every negative thing that is blocking me from becoming a better person, that is blocking me from becoming a strong man. Holy Ghost, help me. Lift up your voice. Begin to pray. Negative things, negative labels, negative words, things that have been uttered that is still haunting you. Every time you close your eyes, you still hear them ringing in your head. It is like it was just said yesterday. It was like it is just being said. Say, Holy Ghost, help me to delete all this. Help me to delete. I realize in the New Testament, I stand a better advantage. I have the blood. I have the name of Jesus. I have the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, help me. Help me to delete. Help me to overcome this. Help me to delete. Help me to delete. Help me to delete. And this week, take it as an exercise. Sit down, list it. Sit down, list it. And delete it. Delete it. Some, you may have to pray like 30 minutes before it's able to delete. Pray until it's deleted. Pray until it's deleted. Because the only one who can delete it is you, not somebody else. I can encourage you to delete, but it is you who will press the button, delete. Father, may you help us. Lord, we know we can become mighty. We can become mighty. Because, Lord, in this time, we have you as our intercessor. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the blood of Jesus. But, Father, there is a job you will not do for us. And that one, we pray that you give us strength to do it. To delete every negative thing that has been spoken about us. Every negative thing that keeps on ringing in our minds. Every negative thing that keeps on holding us back. And the ones that we have said about ourselves. Lord, we pray for enablement. That if these men could fight and not lose, then when we delete it, we can fight and win every battle. We can fight and win every battle. We can fight and win every battle. We pray for grace. We pray for strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you for coming.
Thank you for listening to today's word. We believe that you have been impacted greatly. If you are listening to this podcast and you want to give your life to Christ, please say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you came to do for me. Your life for mine, my sin for your righteousness. I believe that you are the Son of God, sent to die for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your grace towards me. Amen. Beloved, if you have said this prayer, you are now a child of God. Welcome to God's heavenly family. You can send us an email on deliveranceagdh@gmail.com. We would be glad to assist you and help you grow in the Lord. Thank you. Till next time, keep living the glorious life in Christ.